This is a wonderful section of Scripture. I mean, most sections of Scripture are wonderful, but this is just very, very special. So if you've got your Bibles, chapter 1, Luke, verse 26, and I trust that most of you, as you came in, received a little blue paper that you're able to follow. Now, last week we had the wise men, and this week we've had the wise men and everyone else out the front. And the gifts, of course, that they brought, we've got up here, the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh, and we saw the significance last week. It is amazing that last week we saw the supposed wise men or the magi bringing these expensive gifts. They gave of their wealth. We, this week, see a young woman, most people suggest, perhaps only 16, not giving of her wealth, but giving of herself. I want to just ask at Christmas. Last week I did ask, what present would you give to Jesus if he came to your place on Christmas Day? But what really are you prepared to give to God? What really is the gift? Sometimes we do things which we could put in the gift category and excuse ourselves from giving who we are. The challenge is always that we give ourselves. Last week we finished with Psalm 116. What shall I give to God for all of his goodness to me? I will take with both hands the cup of salvation. And I trust that we have all taken with both hands the cup of salvation that God has given so graciously to us. Now, it's amazing, isn't it, how God chooses people like Abraham, sort of almost out of the blue, and Mary, a 16-year-old girl. And what happens in verse 26 of that chapter 1? An angel comes flapping along and speaks to Mary. How amazing. What happened with these guys? A star? What happened to Joseph? A dream? Other people? A vision? I want to say that people often say, I wish God would speak. Well, my understanding is that God speaks in ways that we understand. Like, he won't speak to each of us in exactly the same way. Of course, he speaks through his word to us all, but he speaks to us in different ways. And I've said before, those of us who've had anything to do with some of our Indigenous folk or Aboriginal people, visions and dreams are part of their culture. So, of course, that's how they're going to understand. Dot paintings, and we look and say, a whole lot of dots, it looks like a kid's puzzle. No, it's an expression, it's a story. And so, friends, question is, how is God going to speak to us? In the rest of this story, Mary goes off to Elizabeth, cousin, and when she's talking to Elizabeth, or when she arrives, the baby jumps in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth responds, oh, there is something very special. This is the living God. It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes people communicate the message of God to us. Sometimes, dare I say, even relatives could communicate something of God to us. So let's not shut our mind to the things of God and how God wants to speak to us. circumstances are ways God uses, and lots of other things. But it doesn't have to be a great vision or a great dream or a visit by an angel. It can just be a visit from a friend who almost comes like an angel and ministers to us. So friends, let's be open to what God wants to do. And so the angel comes and says in verse 28, "Hail, O favoured one," or whatever your translation is, "the Lord is with you." Now, of course, Mary is going to be troubled. How can this be? And then down in verse 34, she said again, "How can this be? I haven't got a husband. How can I be pregnant and have a child?" Again, I want to say, God is not thrown by questions. God is not thrown by doubts. We can ask questions. We can have doubts. God, I don't understand. Yes. I don't doubt God. I think I've mentioned this story before. I was having some treatment for my neck, and the young guy treating me said, "Do you ever doubt God?" I said, "No, I don't doubt God. I never doubt God, but he doesn't do things the way I would. I doubt the way, or don't always understand the way he does things, but I don't doubt him." So I'm sure we've all got questions. I mean, we often say jokingly, "Oh, when I get to heaven, I want to ask God this." Well, I don't think it'll even matter once we get to heaven. We won't be asking questions. But Mary doubted, and I just want to say, yep, God is open. Isn't this incredible? From verses 31 down for a few verses, this is who Jesus is. "You will call his name Jesus." We know that that will be Saviour. "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is the God that we serve. This is the God we worship. I just want to say, let's be careful. Let's be careful. Yes, we're in relationship with him. We're in friend relationship. He's brother and whatever. But we need to be careful that we don't bring God down to such a level that we push him around. Because God is God. This is the Jesus we worship. This is the Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the Lord God, the one who rules, reigning forever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is our God. Isn't that incredible? And when we look at the world situation, we say, how does this measure up? But we believe it because it's the word of God. And then in verse 37, Mary says, how can this be? The angel talks about the Holy Spirit coming, and then she says, yep, "Let it be to me according to your word, for with God nothing is impossible." Is it? Is it? With God, is anything impossible? No. Friends, we've got the whole Bible full of impossible stories. How can it be that an angel comes and this young girl is impregnated? That's incredible. How can it be that Elizabeth, who couldn't get pregnant, is pregnant? How can it be that they can go through the Red Sea? How can it be that all those Old Testament stories occur? Why are they there? I think they're there to show to us that the God in whom we believe can do things that are beyond our imagination or understanding. This is the God we believe. And I say again, let's not bring God down to our level of thinking and possibility. We think, oh, well, that can't really happen. It can happen. It can happen. Friends, sometimes God needs to explode our brain and say, hey, get it bigger. Get it bigger. Sometimes we have God in a very small box, something that we're happy to carry around, and we need to be very careful, very careful. Now, Mary is incredible, really. I mean, she is incredible. But she says this, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you said, talking back to the angel, come true. They're fighting words. They're very powerful words. They're incredible words. I am the Lord's servant. Whatever you have said, whatever you want, I am willing to do. Well, friends, if we're talking to the one who is the King, the Lord of Lords, the great victor, nothing is impossible, would we say anything less to him? Would we say anything less than, I am the Lord's servant, whatever you have said, let it come to pass. Let it be true. Now, this isn't just Mary. This is all of us. We're in this story because God says to us, what about this? And we say, Lord, I am one of your servants. Whatever you want, that's fine by me. Okay? Except when it's something I don't really want, or when I don't want to do it, then there's a bit of a reaction. But, friends, with obedience comes those words. We see them in Mary's situation, and we could add more. Misunderstanding, responsibility, joy, yes, cost and pain. We've just had the song, Mary, Did You Know? Did she know by saying to the angel, whatever, that she was going to go through lots of thinking and ultimately stand at the cross? Now, we've just prayed for those families who have lost five kids in Tasmania. I don't know what that would be like to lose a child. But here is Mary standing at the cross and seeing her son crucified. As a result of her saying, whatever you want. And whatever he wanted, there was the child, there was the growing up, and I'm sure there was lots of joy during the growing up. But then there's ultimately the crucifixion and the pain of a mother's heart there. Friends, there's often great pain in obedience. Sometimes, just sometimes, there is more pain in doing the right thing than in doing the wrong thing. Sometimes if we do the wrong thing, we say, stupid me. Stupid me, I shouldn't have done that. But sometimes doing the right thing, the consequence or the outcome can be more difficult. And Mary found that. Obedience led to misunderstanding. How come this young girl's pregnant? Where's the bloke? What's going on here? How did all of this happen? Certainly there was lots of joy. I don't know if you balance it up. Would you say in her life more joy than pain? Perhaps lots of questions. When he's at the temple, what's going on there? Why isn't he with us? And then as she watched him do some of the miracles, what's really going on here? What's happening? How is all of this working out? Well, we have to sort that out for ourselves, how that's going to happen. But then when we move through and we come to verse 47 in this same chapter, from after the section that Jenny read to us, there's Mary's visit to Elizabeth and all that happens there, and that reinforcement. I'm just being attacked by something. That reinforcement. And then we come to the beautiful Song of Mary, or the Magnificent, as it's called. So after what some would call the Annunciation, or the visit and the expression, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's like looking through binoculars with the magnifying side. And this is what Mary says, my soul, my inner being, glorifies and praises God. It's interesting, isn't it? After being told she's going to have a baby, and the reaction to some of that, she's still willing to say, I want to magnify God. Friends, I don't know what some of you have been through in life. I don't know some of your experiences. I know what some of you have told me. But do you still magnify God?
Yes.
Do you still glorify God?
Yes.
Even though there's heartache, glorifying God. Well, this is Mary's example to us here at Christmas. My soul magnifies the God. My soul magnifies God. Yes, he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and all generations will call me blessed. How wonderful. All generations will call me blessed. It seems like her heart is full of adoration and joy and praise for God. And that's the example, of course, that comes to us. 16-year-old. Amazing. And I've got up there, nobody is a nobody, or no one is a nobody when they discover the love of God. This young girl, who might have been despised in her society or looked down upon or called names, had fingers pointed at her. She's special. And what does she say? God has regarded me. God has regarded you. Whatever our upbringing, whatever our situation, whatever our past, when we come to know Jesus, God's love is towards us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just wonderful? Whatever our background, whatever our past, whatever our heartaches, God's love is shown towards us. And we're with Mary there. Praise and adoration. One of my favourite hymns. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet your ransom bring. Ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. Who like he our praise can sing? That's our God. And this is Mary. Now, Mary just bursts forth into incredible qualities of God. Now, did the Holy Spirit give that? Where did that come from? Was it there hidden? Had she been taught it? But she just expresses some incredible things, incredible aspects of God. He is mighty, holy is his name. His mercy is on him, on them that fear him from generation to generation. How amazing that this young woman would say that about the living God. How incredible. Yes, he's mighty, he is holy, his mercy. How wonderful. As someone has said, when we put those things together, power and holiness scare us. Someone is powerful, God is holy, and we sort of, but then we're embraced in the arms of mercy. And it's a trinity of great blessing, not fear, but of blessing. He is mighty. Holy is his name. He has done great things, and his mercy on us. Next, he has shown great strength. Great strength. He's scattered the proud. He's put down the mighty, exalted, filled hungry, sent the rich away empty. This is seen as something a bit prophetic. It's often written like this in Scripture, that what is coming to pass is stated as fact. And isn't that true with God? That what is coming to pass is true because we're dealing with God. Now, we would say today, when we look around the world, people are starving. People are in poverty. We've just heard about Compassion and some of the kids there. We're just well aware that this hasn't been fulfilled in the way that we'd hoped. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, you know, probably half of our Christmas dinner was given to people who didn't have enough to eat in another part of the world. On Thursday night, the bread that came from Beck's bakery and the food that would have just been thrown out. And I said to the people doing it, wouldn't it be wonderful if those people who were hungry in other parts of the world particularly, somehow we could just transport them, plonk them here and let them eat. And they then said, the people who were helping, we've got a friend who's got an apple orchard and we just wish the same could happen with the fruit that goes on the ground. But it hasn't happened. There are people starving to death. There are people in poverty, just incredible. But Mary has almost a prophetic expression and says, yes, they will be scattered, the proud, the mighty will be put down, the hungry will be filled, and the rich will be sent away empty. How incredible. Oh, how we long and pray for a world like that, that that could happen, that that could happen. He has helped, she says in verses 54 and 55. He has helped Israel, his mercy. He has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham, to his posterity forever. God is faithful to his word. I will look after Israel. I will guide Abraham. I will do these things, he says, and he has. Now, where did Mary get these incredible teachings from? Where did they come from? And we would want to say sometimes, and we need to be careful in church life, we sometimes say, young people. Here's a young person with a brilliant insight into God. And I want to say that there are young people who often have more brilliant insights than some of us older people. We need to be careful. And have you ever been involved in a youth group where you've had a couple of rat bags in the youth group? Kids, one we had up at Allgate, and I said to his mother, I would often want to kiss him and sometimes I would want to kill him. He's a great leader in the Christian church these days, a wonderful asset in the church. So I want to say, friends, how wonderful when young people grow with the insight into the character of God. And we who are older, we are the example. We are the example. And we want them to grow, not necessarily like us, but we want them to grow like Jesus. But we're the model pointing them to Jesus. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. So Mary says, God fulfills his promise. Who to? He's fulfilled it and fulfills it to Israel and will fulfill it for us. What does Mary teach us? She teaches us that response and obedience brings blessing and heartache. But may it be our prayer. I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to do whatever he wants. And may everything you have said come true. Christmas is the coming of Jesus into our lives, into our hearts, but importantly, into our behaviour. Very, very important. If I can just finish, well, I will, too bad whether I can or can't. pardon me, when I went to see Brian 2 days before he died, and when I read to him about the in my father's house, he was sort of in and out of awareness. And then he said to me, now, that young guy, Dion, is he still coming to the church, coming down to do pastor? And I said, yes, he is. I mustn't forget to pray for him. Now, I want to say, isn't that a wonderful example of an older person, 91, mind still thinking and heart still on the things of God? Friends, let us keep our heart and mind on the things of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, from Mary we learn that there is great wisdom and insight in youth. We also see her incredible example of trust in you, and we are challenged as to whether we trust like that. We ask our Father that we might say, Lord, be it unto us according to your perfect will, and may we trust you. So, Lord, we lift our hearts to you, thanking you that that angel appeared to Mary. Appear to us in whatever way you want, through your word, yes, through friends and relatives, of course, in something that is a bit beyond the ordinary. But, Lord, continue to minister to us that we might see you and know you and, like Mary, wholeheartedly respond and then magnify the greatness of our God. For we pray these things in his name. Amen.